points to talk about today. Really, the center of it will be this story of Jesus and Zacchaeus and what that might mean. I have a bit of a story that I want to tell that I was reminded of by this. I want to start with a passage from Isaiah, but not maybe in the vein that you would usually expect me to go, because the theme from Isaiah is such a familiar one, and one that I have leaned on fairly heavily in years past, which is religion that does not inform everyday life is one of the great human temptations. I mean, that's really what Isaiah is saying. He says, I hate your Sabbath, your feasts, your incense, all of your religion, I detest it, because it's disconnected from the way you live every day. And start to attend to your everyday life, and then you can come back and be religious. But if you think you're doing something significant with religion, and you're not changing the way things actually are in the world, your religion is merely a temptation. Well, that's the theme I would lean on, usually. But my walk this morning, I was up a little earlier than I actually wanted to be. And so went out earlier for my walk. Dark night, no moon, the stars were out. And I realized that I don't very often speak about the beauty of religion, the possibility that really calls us here. And one of the things that calls us here is the opportunity as a community to identify those things which are, to our hearts and minds, truly beautiful, of the highest value, the things that give depth and meaning to this great and wonderful experience of being a human being. And, you know, in the world that is so obsessed with things that don't matter very much, there's that line of the psalm, help me turn from watching what is worthless. I don't know if you think of television, but I do. The world's frame of values is pretty skewed, and we are asked both to pay attention to and to regard as important many things that are not very important. And so when we gather here, we have at least the possibility of identifying really the things that most deeply, deeply gladden our hearts, the place out of which true joy really arises. And I don't want to go too long without reminding us that that's really what the heart of religion is. And that we carry the fruit of that remembrance, that recollection, that awakening out into the world so that the world and our place in it can be better. So I just wanted to say that about Isaiah, because the theme is familiar, but I usually take the other side. Zacchaeus, this funny story about Zacchaeus. It's kind of a happy story in this. I guess I don't have my bullet in my hand, but I love that picture on the cover of Zacchaeus, sort of the little man in the tree and the crowd. It's a very undignified thing for this man to do, to climb a tree so he can see Jesus. And clearly, something about Jesus had intrigued him. Jesus was notorious. He was a figure of renown as he moved from town to town. And Zacchaeus wanted to see him. But we have to remember the kind of position that Zacchaeus occupied. He was a despised man. He was a collaborator with the Romans. He almost certainly extorted tax revenues from his own people. And so in every possible way, he was a figure of revulsion for his contemporaries. And so Jesus was doing something both extraordinary and entirely typical of Jesus, which is he recognizes someone whose attention is warming to him, and regardless of who they are, he invites them into the feast that was his life. And the story of Zacchaeus reminded me of a story, and I have not really thought about this for many years, maybe 45 years. I hate to say that. I mean, I hate to look at my own life in chunks of time that are so huge. me and probably six children. I was going to the University of Washington at the time. Go Dogs. Many of you follow college football. I know that's... going to the University of Washington, my parents lived about 35 miles south of there, in a little town, and they lived up on a hillside above the town. It was, you know, kind of rural. And they were out of town for a few weeks, and so I went down to check on the house. And as I was walking around, a group of children showed up, neighborhood kids, like I say, maybe six, and I can't really remember how old they were, somewhere five, six, seven-ish. And what I began to realize from the way they were interacting with me, and it's kind of a sad story, my mother was not regarded with much affection in the neighborhood. She was the cranky older woman who would come out and chase the children away. And apparently this had become sort of a game. And they would, I think, try to come and see if they could provoke her to come out and yell at them. And they expected me to be the same. Why would I want to be hostile to these children? And so I just started talking to them. And it was the girls at first, there were three girls, three boys, I think. It was the girls at first that kind of warmed up, and they were like, what are you doing? And we started playing. And they were still young enough where you could grab them by the arms and give them a swing, you know, turn around and like this, you know, they like that. But the boys were not there at all. The boys were still in the ring outside, and they were throwing stuff. They were like, they thought they wanted to fight. And this is what was most remarkable to me. I watched these little boys, and little boys in the process of trying on masks, little boys becoming creatures hidden behind their masks. I've been calling them in my mind. These little boys were wearing masks of balloons. And then I watched the masks start to fall away as they got interested in what was happening with the girls. Because the girls were having fun, and they really weren't having very much fun. And I watched the masks fall away, and they became little boys again. Just wanting to play. So they got to swing around too, and we all got to play together. I think something like that happened to Zacchaeus, where the presence of Jesus and what Jesus really represented spoke in some way to the heart of Zacchaeus that allowed him to return to something that he had left decades ago. You know, he had become, we usually, if you use the phrase at all, the quick and the dead. The French novelist André Gide spoke in one of his novels about the quick and the crusted. The quick and the crusted. And Zacchaeus had become crusted. Let us assume that he had been crusted and was wearing a mask and was inhabiting a role. And it was a role that he must have had to steel himself as he went out and walked about the streets because he was a figure of hatred. And so how did Jesus speak through that, those years of accumulated hardening, to speak to his heart? And in the end, it was simple. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to stay with you tonight. And Zacchaeus said, yay, thank you. And allowed himself to be, in a sense, a little boy again, but to be changed by that encounter. And, you know, Jesus, you might say the essence of the Christian message is found in that last sentence of the gospel. The Son of Man came to seek out to save what is lost. And I think of all of us and the ways that over the years our masks have grown. You know, those little boys, I watched the mask forming and then I watched it fall away. But we all know that as we get older, the masks become a little more rigid, and we tend to forget that there might even be anything about us except the mask that we wear and show to the world. We all get lost, one way or another. Or there is none of us so realized that we can't be called into a deeper and more, a deeper and richer life. And so, there are so many interpretations of Christianity that would point to Zacchaeus and say, we have to get rid of Zacchaeus. The way to make the world better is to get rid of the ones who are ruining it. And that's not the way of Jesus. That's not the way of Jesus. Seek out and save what is lost. You know, I mean, I will go back to one of my themes. You know, someone even like C.S. Lewis will depict the Christian story as ultimately a battle between good and evil, where evil is defeated by the violence of the good. How anyone gets that out of the Christian story is a mystery to me. But it's, well, I guess we get it out of the Christian story because that's the way we see reality in our sort of spontaneous modes. But for Jesus, it's doing like Mandela did. You know, reaching out to those who would hate you, who are to be reviled, who are sinners, in the words of the gospel, and say, come have fellowship with me. Sit down and eat a meal with me, Zacchaeus. And, you know, I've said that. My friend in Seattle has the tagline on his email, which I think is perfectly appropriate for this. If you want to change the world, throw a better party. If you want to change the world, throw a better party. And a real party. Not hollowed out of real joy, you know, the sort of the frenetic celebrations that don't mean anything. The better party where we all belong and we all get a place at the table and we get to celebrate that which is true joy. And, you know, the true joy, you know, when Zacchaeus comes down from the tree and Jesus welcomes him and he welcomes Jesus, you know, that's the gospel in practice. The lost becoming saved. The lost opening his heart and saying, you know, I don't want to be in this outer ring. No matter how much money I get or how much power I get, I don't want to be in the outer ring. I want to join the party. And I want to join the great feast. And we have to thank the Hebrews because they've always said, you know, lots of travail as we move through life. But the ultimate, deepest reality that we're involved in is that of a banquet. It's a feast, like a wedding feast. That's the image that the Hebrews give to us. And we're still about that. We are trying to change the world by throwing this wonderful party. And we all need to remember, you know, let's make it as good a party as possible.